Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised Word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome to the Robin Walters Show. This bright, booming, blossoming day in October. Now, hard to believe how fast this year has gone by. No wonder the gospel says to redeem the time, for the days are short. And boy, the days are short. I guess as you go towards winter, they keep getting shorter, right? But they get shorter as you get older. Life gets, the speed at which it goes by, it picks up. You're just kind of racing from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year. We are to redeem the time, and that's why I try to make use of every single minute I have on this program to share things that you need to share, need to hear, and then maybe share. I start with the good news, try to end with good news in between, hang on, but I want to start with something that is just so encouraging to me. You have heard me say probably ad nauseum on this program the importance of education, Christian education. And the fact of the matter is, garbage in, garbage out. If you just fill the kids with absolute polluted crapola from the pit of hell, guess how they're going to vote? Guess how they're going to act? Guess how they're going to do anything in life where they're devoid of and separated from the influence of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God? We walked away from that public school system. It's now a governmental school system. And if you got kids in a government school, I'm sorry, but it's you're guilty of child abuse, child neglect, probably child endangerment. So why is this good news? The good news is everything I'm reading has indicated that private school enrollment and homeschooling, the alternatives to a government school, are up enormously. Enormously. Varying anywhere from maybe up 27, 28% in some places to being up 40% that people are fleeing the government education system, which I'm giving it a benefit of the doubt by even calling it education. I pulled my kids out when they were fifth grade. They never saw another government school. Well, not for a long time, not till they were well established and in college. And, you know, I talked with a party in Arizona just yesterday, Christian school. Their enrollment is up 32% in 1 year. Talked to an associate principal of a school in Michigan. Their enrollment is up 40%. People are voting with their feet. And this is what I have said is the blessing of COVID. And I really mean that. COVID is by itself a judgment. I don't think there's any question about it. It's not from the devil. The devil, in no single place in Scripture can I find where the devil is the origin of plagues. Plagues, sometimes they don't have an origin. Most of the time, they're distinctly, and I say most of the time, 90%+ of the time in Scripture, God institutes them as a result of sin. But with the plague, he invariably provides a way out, an escape. So the Hebrews sinned seriously and badly, and judgment came on them in the form of snakes, vipers that started biting them. Well, what did God say? He provided the way out by putting up a pole, brass pole, with a snake on it, which of course is actually a representation of Jesus on the cross. You say, Jesus is a cross? Well, he became sin. He didn't carry sin on his back. He became that. It says we've been made, he became sin for us, became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. But the way out was provided along with the judgment. And so with COVID. So there's a judgment. And like God judged the Hebrews in the wilderness so that nobody 20 years and older could enter the, or is it over 20 or 20 and over? I can't remember. But I think it was 20 and over could go into the promised land. Only those that were under 20 or 20 and under got to go in. So there was a judgment. But those young, the children, were not responsible for the sins of their elders, which it says in Scripture very clearly in multiple places, which is why there's no place biblically for the concept of reparations. We are responsible for our own sins, and that's pretty much no child is punished for the sins of the parent. No parents are to die for the sins of the children. Very clear. Those children had not done anything wrong going through the wilderness, the ones who ultimately entered the promised land. But God did provide a way, even through the judgment, to then produce something that is good. The children were not harmed. In the case of COVID, virtually no child gets it to the point of being hospitalized. And it is ridiculously rare to find a child that dies of COVID, and virtually impossible to find a child that dies of COVID that didn't have comorbidity issues. The children are by and large spared this, but they're made the victims, the pawns, because the left, the Democrats, have found a way to attempt to control people, but it's backfiring. We'll control their children. If we control their children, we can control them. If we can control their employers by making the employers put mask and vaccine mandates on them, we can control everything, because the left is animated by the demons of from hell. They are from the pit of hell. Satan has always and only been about control. Control, control, control. Read it in Isaiah 14. I will be like the Most High. I will ascend to the... He just wants to be the big kahuna. He screwed up big time. But now he works through his minions on this earth. But back to my point, COVID has really not touched the children. How on earth could we get rid of a wicked, corrupt, inept, incompetent government school system? Have COVID. Have them get so heady and headstrong with their sense of control and power that people just vote with their feet and get the heck out of Dodge. Forget you, government schools. Every child that leaves the school in California costs that school district something like $7,500 a year. Starve them. I've said that. The left only responds to financial spankings. And that's tough because they're usually stealing your money and my money. They're usually dealing with only with other people's money. But this is a great news of COVID. COVID is freeing literally millions of children from a government school system. I got to tell you, those people won't go back. Now, I know of people who've tried homeschooling and it doesn't work. I talked with a lady the other day. She said, you know what? We tried homeschooling. It just didn't work. So what'd you do? Well, we just found a way to pay for private school because we were not going back to a government roach house, moral roaches. I mean, and that's the kind of commitment we need. Now, I'm going to give you only one story to show you today the importance of this. And this comes out of Fairfax County, Virginia, which is an extremely religiously extremist. You know, the far left is always talking about the far right. The far right are the people who believe in the sanctity of human life. The far right are the people who believe in one man, one woman marriage. This is how the far left sees it. The left is so far left, they're like they're sitting on the left wingtip of an airplane and calling people who are sitting in the cabin far right when they're actually in the center. So let me ask you, if somehow abortion was the center, and the far right, the right wing tip was pro-life, what would be the far left if the left If the pro aborts occupied the center, which they say they are, we're the mainstream. They got to say that to make the far right look like right, the pro-life people. So if the pro-aborts, the ones who apparently do not have a problem with blood on their lips and teeth as long as it's their children's, not their own, if they are the center, then what does the far left look like from an abortion perspective? You can't have a plane with one wing. Got to be two wings. It's a right wing and a left wing. So if they contend that they are the center and we are the right, then what does the left look like? Slaughter your children anytime you want as long as they aren't looking. Slaughter them up to the age of 10, 20. Just kill. What? I mean, there's got to be a left to the right. See? I hope you get that. Anyway, Fairfax County, Virginia, this mother, Stacy Langton, God bless you, Stacy. Pray for this woman. Write her name down, Stacy Langton, L-A-G-T-O-N. Most of this article I can't share. The words I can't say on the air. And why? It's not the words that Stacy Langton's using. No, it's not the words that her demonically controlled and inspired county school board uses. No, they're the words that are used in the textbooks and the books in the library that are pornographic, the books that describe graphically sex acts between men and women. No, we're way past that. That's so 90s men and boys. In fact, one of the books is called Lawn Boy, Mow the Little Kid Down with an Adult Pedophile. This woman read aloud the sexually explicit material and shared graphic images that was featured just in a couple of books available in the high school library. Now, the good thing about this is that the video, last count, was well north of 500,000 or 300,000. They said one book describes a fourth grade boy performing oral sex on an adult male. That's right. The other book is detailed illustrations of a man having sex with a boy. This is all this queer crapola. This is the Gestapo that is running the Fairfax County School Board and wants to run yours, and they are so deeply rooted, you cannot believe how deeply rooted they are. Some people don't even know how bad some companies have been. I used to love Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel, out of what, Lebanon, Tennessee? Bible-based, Bible Belt, used to advertise on the Grand Ole Opry. Maybe they still do. I don't know. Until a couple of women working for Cracker Barrel, very high up, called me and said, can you help us? Can you help us? We have homosexuals running the HR department. They are bringing in homosexuality and mainstreaming all of this and taking apart anybody who would oppose it. I wrote the board of directors for Cracker Barrel and called them out big time. Were they moved? No, because they were in love with money. I haven't eaten a Cracker Barrel since. It's all sugar and garbage. Cracker Barrel, take a hike, go bankrupt. Do us all a favor. So Langton goes on that the illustrations include fellatio, sex toys, masturbation, violent nudity. One book called Gender Queer. I can't wait to have, and the whole rest of it I can't say. The next book, what I told you, how I touched another, well, can't say any of that. I can't quote from any of the book. I would and should get kicked off the air if I read that. But no, it's available in Fairfax County schools. When she was done, and they tried to cut her off, they were very quick to try to introduce the next speaker, but the parents were so ticked off. They were so angered at the school board, they started chanting, go to jail. And they should. For child abuse. That's what the school board is guilty of. It's what the government schools are guilty of. So a security officer tried to escort her away from the podium, and she went on to say, this board, this is the last thing before she got hauled away, this board is in violation of the law of the state of Virginia, section 18.2-376. I'll read it. Crimes involving morals and decency It's unlawful for any person to knowingly prepare, print, publish, or circulate, or cause to be prepared, printed, published, or circulated, any notice or advertisement of any obscene performance or exhibition. God bless you, Stacy. You are fulfilling the requirements of Ephesians 5, or forgot the exact passage, about bringing forth and exposing, that's the word I was looking for, exposing, not like these queers are doing in the books, and exposing themselves and their ideas to children. That's how they say, well, the defense of the school board was this was a high school library. Are you kidding me? This shouldn't be in any library, public, private, or anything. Go to some queer museum if you want to see that queer crapola, if that's what you're into. But don't sit there and try to culcate an environment that makes it easier for you queers to sodomize your children, because you need to be looking down the barrel of somebody's gun if that happens. I'm serious. That's a life worth defending by whatever means necessary. But the Stacey Langtons of the world are what's needed to stir up and bring people around to their senses that this is what's going on. Get your kids out. Get them up. And people say, well, I don't really have an exact option for me. Well, this is what I have to say to that. First of all, you pray about it. God will provide a way. Do you think he wants your children succumbing to this crap? Are you kidding me? Because you're the one that would be responsible. So I tell grandparents that I run into, look, if you got grandkids in a government school, get them out. I'll sell something. Cash in some of your IRA. Do whatever is necessary to get them out. Well, we don't have really good options. Find one. Pray about it. Let me ask you this. If a building were on fire, and would you not go out a window only because there were no doors available? You would find your way out of that burning building. If it was the second floor, you'd probably jump and say, hey, I may end up with a broken leg, but I'm going to live. You do what is necessary. And this is why, in a sense, I don't object to some of this. I like the left getting so full of itself and pushing it so fast and furious that the frogs that were being stewed slowly in the pot are now being heated up so stinking fast they can hardly wait to jump out. And guess what? Take their kids with them. Cost the schools billions of dollars by getting them out. Okay, I guess you got my point on that, right? Our debt ceiling. I'm going to jump around on a couple of things here before I get to abortion today. But the debt ceiling, which keeps increasing, we now are almost $30 trillion in debt. $30 trillion. They want to increase it so we can borrow more, print more worthless money. We're going to be like World War One, pre-World War One Germany, where inflation was so bad. There's a guy with a wheelbarrow full of bills, and he gets robbed. And the person who robs him dumps some money out and takes the wheelbarrow because the money was worthless. The wheelbarrow had value. And to that extent, you should prepare for inflation, runaway debt, by having things paid off that are durable goods. If you need a new washing machine, lawnmower, whatever, get a good one, get it now, pay cash for it. Maybe it'll last you the rest of your life, but get it while you can. I'm not saying, I'm not very much in stocks. I'm not here as a financial advisor, though I used to serve as that. That's not my strength. But Solomon said, have your assets diversified. 6, if not 7 different areas to divide your assets. For he said, for who knows what disaster shall come upon the earth. Interesting, Solomon did not say, for who knows if a disaster shall come upon the earth, but he said, who knows what disaster shall come upon the earth. Okay, debt ceiling, don't increase it. Shut the government down. I can't remember who it was. I think it was a senator from Oklahoma. I can't think of his name. When about, 7 or 8 years ago, a big snowstorm buried Washington, D.C., and it shut down for 3 days. And he was asked what he thought about their inability to do work. And his answer was, these 3 days that Congress could do nothing have been the most productive 3 days in my congressional life. Shut them down. Will it affect military pay? Yes, it will some. Will it affect your Social Security? Yes, it will some. And that may be, you know, maybe they're going to say, well, we're going to cut it off unless you move your senator, your representative to increase the debt ceiling. Call Biden's bluff. The moronic, demonic, left-wing puppet. Hey, you know what? I can't share that idea. They got to spring it on you. Next. Okay. I very seldom ever say things about pastors and preachers with whom I disagree on something. There's sometimes it just is required, and it's not to knock them off any pedestal or knock them out from behind a pulpit, whatever their ministry is. But there's sometimes that are things that are simply from hell that somehow come out the person's mouth. Like Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Well, was Peter demon-possessed? No. But obviously Satan used him and flipped his tongue to say some things that were from Satan, not from Peter. Jesse Duplantis. I've seen this guy in person a couple of times. I'm a funny mix. I got saved in a Pentecostal church, and my roots are probably Pentecostal. But I'd probably say I'm Bapticostal, because there are some areas of evangelism and certain things that I like about the Baptist church. Some things I like about the Christian Reformed church because of its emphasis on assuring through their, I forgot what the term is. Gosh, it just escaped me. Catechism. All right, sorry about that. Their catechism, the importance of understanding the Old Testament. I don't see that much in Pentecostal churches. I see it more in Baptist churches. I see it a lot in the what they call the CRC. So I'm kind of a mix of all those things. But I've seen Duplantis a couple of times. And the other day on the air, he said at a Kenny Copeland fundraising event, he said, I honestly believe that the reason why Jesus hasn't come is because people are not giving the way God told them to give. So I'm concerned if there's an implication that the return of Jesus could be sped up by people giving more money. That seems to be the implication. I could be wrong. If I've taken out of context, you let me know. RobinWalterShow@gmail.com. RobinWalterShow@gmail.com. Feel free to write me. I'll do my best to respond. The program is growing, especially with a podcast now on Apple and iTunes and Amazon and Spotify and Rumble. It's picking up speed, and I thank my producer for that. I've got some people that are helping me finally after 16 years. I appreciate it. I was bothered a bit. I mean, I was kind of raised on Kenny Copeland when I got saved, and he's done a lot of good things. There's some things where I don't listen to prophetic words from him because too many of them have just been plain wrong. So Scripture says, you know, don't be concerned about a prophecy that's an error. I'm not out to do anything. I'm not trying to knock him down, but he was talking the other day asking for some additional money to help purchase a jet so he could avoid the vaccine mandate. I don't understand that because he hasn't flown commercial aircraft in 25 years. He's got two or three jets already, so I'm not sure, but he said he believes that it could be the mark of the beast. But then he went on to say that it wasn't the mark of the beast per se, the vaccine, but I don't really quite understand what he said. Interesting that he's talking about the mark of the beast and having to maybe take it when he's a pre-trib guy, and supposedly pre-tribbers are out of here 7 years before Jesus returns and the mark of the beast emerges halfway through the tribulation. But there is no pre-trib rapture, and maybe Kenny Copeland is finally coming around to that, which Baptist Pentecostals all seem to somewhat universally believe in a pre-trib rapture, which is bogus. It does not exist. Christian Reformed Church doesn't even seem to touch the topic. Don't know if that's good or bad, but they don't. Now, on to the heart of this program. I want to talk about abortion. We've talked about it many times before. I've done, I think for 11 or 12 years, I did 11 or 12 abortion sermons every January on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade at a church in California. And no two sermons were alike. Every single year, God gave me a different message about abortion. There is so much to share. The wickedness, the evil of it. Understand that the worst king, we're going to start here. The worst king in Israel's history was a king by the name of Manasseh. So bad that even after he repented, so bad that even his grandson Josiah, who was the best king Israel ever had, wasn't David. It was Josiah. Scripture says so. From a kingship standpoint, maybe not relationship to God, that would be David, the man after God's own heart. But as a king exercising godly, righteous authority, Josiah was the best. The grandson of the worst, Manasseh. Manasseh actually, at the very end of his life, did repent. But notwithstanding his repentance, and notwithstanding the fact that he had a grandson who sat on the throne, was the best king Israel had, Manasseh did so much evil. He did things that were so badly, God could not withhold the judgment on Israel. And even though Josiah did good, the people in the country's hearts weren't changed. Sort of reminds me a little bit of Donald Trump. I'm not trying to make Donald Trump to be a Josiah. He certainly is the best president we've had in the last 100 years. Any question about it? But the hearts of the people didn't change. And so we continue on with this abortion, bloody mess that it is, mantra of the left, the you make them, we scrape them, no fetus will beat us mentality of the left. And they now pass a national abortion bill that allows the awful and gruesome killings right up to and including when the mother is in labor. In other words, Governor Northam of Virginia practice of being fine with the execution of children on the birthing stool or even after they're born will be law. The Democrats love it. The Democrats voted in support of this bill 212-1. Now, I don't know who the one person was who was against it. I guess I should find out. But coming back to Manasseh, of all of his sins, it's noted in Scripture that Manasseh, more than any other king, was responsible for shedding much innocent blood. There's idolatry, people worshiping graven images, queer sex and all that stuff that's going on. God hates that. It's an abomination. But shedding innocent blood, and a lot of it, was probably, it seems to be, the implication in Scripture. The sin which God could not relent of and determined a judgment upon Israel for doing that, allowing it. And how are we any different? Except that we've slaughtered 7,000% more children than were killed under Manasseh. Don't go away. We are just getting started.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
We're back. You know, some people wonder, well, why are you playing Mustang Sally? First of all, I love Wilson Pickett. I've got virtually every hit he ever made in the form of 45s. I still have the 45s. In the Midnight Hour, Mustang Sally, he had a bunch of them. I got them all. But I particularly like that song. It's a great dance song. I just have to convey that. There's some times when you just sort of want to get away, and yes, prayer is great. I appreciate that. But something in the natural, the physical, when people go on a vacation, for me, it would be just if I could sit down in about a 65 or 66 Mustang convertible, put the top down, and drive across a desert on a warm summer night and check out those stars with some good tunes on the radio. There's just sometimes you need an escape, and I haven't had that escape. And I'm not sure I can afford the 65 or 66 Mustang anymore. Not that I ever could. I couldn't afford it in 1965. So, but maybe someday God will bless me with one. Who knows? I would love that to no end. But back to our point on the abortion. Like I said, I'd like to vote for that one Democrat who voted against it. But I heard a Christian comment, said, who voted for Biden. I don't know how, honestly, I do not know how you can be Christian and vote and be a Democrat. I think they're mutually exclusive. I just do not see how you can be a Democrat. You'd have to be so woefully and abysmally ignorant and morally corrupt that would seem like it would imply that you aren't a Christian. But this person has made the comment, well, if you're just voting abortion, why would you be a single-issue voter and let that dictate how you would vote related to Joe Biden? Well, of course, it isn't a single issue, as we know. How about a million people just streaming across the border? How about Afghanistan? How about queer this and queer that and stating that children as young as 10 should be able to choose their own sex? And I could fill the program with Joe Biden's immorality, but I don't want to give ink that much ink to immorality. I got my hands full with abortion here. But to that person, I'd say, well, let's suppose, are you saying then, that you would say that, well, look at all the good Adolf Hitler did, but the fact that he executed 6 or 7 million Jews. Say, you know why? Just because he killed 6 or 7 million Jews, would that actually exclude him from being considered as a reasonable voting option? Seriously? Well, that's when people hit you with that single issue voter argument when it comes down to abortion. Remember this part of the program. So are you saying that you would vote for Adolf Hitler because of certain programs that did well, even though he executed 6 or 7 million Jews? And we're not talking about 6 or 7 million children here. We're talking 60 to 70 million children. 1,000% more deaths than Adolf Hitler committed. Well, consider the fact. Well, you know what? I'm going to make that point in a few minutes. This bill is called the Women's Health Protection Act. Women's Health Protection. Let me ask you, when is the Hippocratic Oath implemented by making sure an innocent person is killed? This should be called the Execution of Innocent Children Act. Trust me. If this thing goes through and they try to, we will be judged even further. And guess, it's called the Women's Health Protection Act. How can it be the Women's Health Protection Act when half of the children being executed are women? They're females. How is killing half of the victim pool the protection of one half that you contend that you're protecting? You're protecting women by killing 50% of all the children who are, and those children being female. I want you to get out a pen and paper. I want you to write down a couple things here as it relates to this issue. Because this issue just will not go away. And as I have said, as bad as queer marriage and sodomy and all that crap is, and as bad as stripping of us our Second Amendment rights and opening up the borders and God selling us to the lowest bidder, and now we're spending gazillions of dollars for 95,000 Afghans, most of whom have not been vetted, 90% who have not been vetted, and we already have reports of them raping women and sexually molesting children. We already got that. So if you see that, and you have a gun on you, the question is, are you in your right, in your rights to be able to execute the Afghani or anybody else who is attempting to sodomize a child? Well, if there's some reason to believe the child's life is at risk, yes, you are able and in your right to do it. So that's another program. We'll get back to that later. You got your pen? Got your paper? Like the woman in Fairfax, Virginia, who is posing the pornography masquerading as a suitable library book just because some queers got the book into the library to establish a beachhead and prepare and what's the word when you prepare a young child for something? I can't think of what the word is. But anyway, prepare them for a life later on where they would be participating in that behavior. Proverbs 31:8. This woman speaking about that is like what you and I need to be doing as it relates to abortion as well. That passage, open your mouth. For those who can't speak in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. These children can't speak, right? They cannot open their mouth. And there's an abortion appointment set up. Interesting. It says those who are appointed to destruction. You don't have an abortion without making an appointment. An appointment for destroying life, which people say, that's a woman's body. What a bunch of crap. How can a woman have a part of her body be a different DNA? Impossible. Plus, how can a woman have certain anatomical parts that are exclusive to men? I mean, how graphic do we have to get to make just establish a common sense beachhead here? Well, I will tell you, this is, I mean, Proverbs 31:8, open your mouth for those who cannot speak in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. You should never, ever, I don't care if it's work, church, family function, Thanksgiving, somebody else brings up a pro-abortion position, pro-death, and I'm done calling them pro-abortion. I'm going to start calling them anti-life. They want to put the word anti in front of everything that righteous people believe. They're anti-life. I'm done with them dictating the conversation. It's pro-life and anti-life. I said, well, we're not anti-life. Well, sure you are. You killed 70 million of them. Well, we're not. Sure you killed them. Sure, it's life. If it wasn't life, you wouldn't have to kill it, would you? No. There's no common sense. They're just so demonically convulsed over this issue. Maybe they are demon-possessed. Some of them certainly are. But if I were a governor, and I'm serious about this, I would shut down the abortion clinics at the point of a gun. Say, well, that's not constitutional. Well, abortion's not constitutional. You have a right to exercise a third-party defense when a third party is in a position of suffering imminent bodily harm that is severe or death. In this case, it's death. You have the right to step in. That's in every state. It's just right now the doctors have the so-called right to execute the innocent unborn. Which is why I firmly believe governors are not exercising the authority God has given and placed them for. It says, to know to do good and not do it is evil. If you have the authority, make an executive order that says, we have a health emergency here. We have innocent children being slaughtered by so-called, quote, doctors, end quote. That ends, and it ends now. We are going to force the end of that barbaric practice at the point of a gun, if necessary, to arrest those doctors and try them for the execution of the innocent unborn. Of course, only after a fair trial should they be condemned, should they be sentenced to whatever that appropriate sentence is, but they have the legislature pass the law. Who cares whether the courts say it's unconstitutional? The states need to do what is right, and God will bless that state. And you'll have good people moving to that state, and you'll have lousy Democrats moving out of that state. Let them go to California, the slaughterhouse of America. If you want to sacrifice up your children on the altars of Molech, if human blood is what you lust for, California, Illinois, Massachusetts, New York, then so be it. But that blood's not going to be on the soil of Texas or Kentucky or Arizona. No, we're going to be blessed, and we're going to do the right thing, even though everybody says it's the wrong thing. Call out the National Guard. Oh, sorry, that's right. The National Guard's under my control, Joe Biden. Next verse, Ezekiel 13:19. Write this verse down. Ezekiel 13:19. Israel is being chastised because they are, it says, you slay those who should not die, and you save alive all those who should not live. You slay those who should not die, and you save alive those who should not live. This has abortion implication all over it. 70 million innocent children in the womb are executed. Those who should die, who are being slain, who are innocent. And those who are guilty, the abortion doctors, who should be slain, of course, after a fair trial and notice and a change of law and all those things that are appropriate. But who cares whether they get struck down by some court? It just needs to stand. Say, I'm sorry. We in this state are going to enforce this law. The Supreme Court, the Circuit Court, has no authority to exceed their authority. They cannot approve the execution of innocent people any more than that state could approve the execution of some person who they know was wrongly convicted of a capital offense. Can't do that. These children have done nothing wrong. And then protect and exalt and then fund to the tune of $500 million of Planned Parenthood money, funding the execution and the practice of those who should not live. We've totally flipped it. Michael in Nevada, I know you're listening. He a number of years ago made me aware of a passage, which I knew the passage. It just struck me when he pointed it out, and now it's just forever embedded in my mind. Proverbs 11:10. Proverbs 11:10, which talks about the issue of when the wicked are in authority, the people mourn, right? But in Proverbs 11:10, it makes this comment that when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. But when the wicked perish, there is shouting for joy. You see, I'm not going to shout for joy because an abortion doctor is in hell. There's no way you can be a Christian and slaughtering innocent unborn children. I mean, I guess I have to leave out the possibility that the guy gets saved 30 seconds before the guillotine blade falls, or, you know, he's injected. That's always possible. But based, you know them by their fruits. They're worthy of proper execution after a fair trial. That's what the crime calls for. Would I be joyously shouting in an exultant manner because they are in hell? Of course not. It says God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that's not what this passage is talking about. shouting for joy when those people end up in hell. That would be wrong. That would be contrary to what God's word tells us that he desires. It says that he desires that none should perish, meaning perish spiritually. But it is okay, it is appropriate, in fact, it is very much okay to be joyous and shout for joy when the burden and the oppression of the wicked are lifted. And that's what this passage means. It means that when Adolf Hitler died, shouts for joy. Because he was in hell, probably? No. But because the burden and the oppression was lifted. Did we not all cheer and sing right along with the Munchkins? Ding dong, the witch is dead? Well, by definition, we know the witch didn't go to heaven. Witches are a satanic manifestation. But did we cheer when the Wicked Witch of the East died and the Wicked Witch of the West? Of course we did. We're right there rooting along with the Munchkins, with our kids at all ages. Because why? The oppression was lifted. And that's what will happen when certain people are no longer in office. I don't care whether Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, is she still even alive? Where is Joe's hoe and toe? Where is she anyway? She's in charge of the border. Well, look, if you're in charge of the border and we have 1 million people crossing the border unaccosted, just coming in, olly, olly, oxen and free, you are so derelict. You are so fundamentally incompetent. But I really don't care if all these people died. I really don't. I'm not encouraging anybody to do a Democratic thing and go shoot them at a softball rally on the Capitol grounds like that one Democrat did of Republicans. Of course not. But if their plane plowed into Mount Whitney, I wouldn't, you know what? I would have to rejoice that that burden is being lifted. Of course, I'd love to see them get them saved. But if not, then my passage, the instructive passage is 2 Thessalonians 3:2. Right? You pray that God would deliver us from wicked and unreasonable men. And by definition, that would mean women as well. So, you got the passages. That's where we are in this country. And I want to end, I got so much more to share, but I want to end with sort of an oddball good news. Let me go to this piece, which I know has been covered quite aptly on Fox. Thank God for Tucker Carlson. And a few others, but the New York governor, Kathy Hochul, I think that's, I've heard it pronounced Hochul, it's Hochul, it's the way I'm going to pronounce it here, who came out and infamously proclaimed that unvaccinated people aren't listening to God. And she said, then she went on to state that people needed to be her apostles to carry out the dictates of her, meaning you get vaccinated, and if you don't, you crummy, lousy Christian, you probably aren't even a Christian. You certainly aren't listening to God if you aren't taking an experimental drug, which has killed now, you ready for this? Unofficial, but over 50,000 people that have died from either taking the jab or from catching COVID after they took the jab. Because there's now indication that you are more susceptible, not less, more susceptible in some cases to hospitalization and death having had the shot than without the shot. 50,000 and counting. So, Kathy, baby, you're proclaiming that the people aren't listening to God, that these, if they are unvaccinated, using your words, that they aren't the apostles of you that they should be. Keep in mind, they aren't listening to, I mean, she invokes Jesus into this speech of hers. First of all, Kathy, you don't have apostles. No human has apostles. Just a little bit of Bible 101. Apostles are apostles of God, not of humans. Could we just make that clear right now? Of course, what would you know? You've said nothing that would indicate that you would recognize a Bible in a Christian bookstore. So why is this good news? Because the gloves are off. We're liberated. We finally can bring into the public discourse political campaigns we shouldn't have needed a door open. When I ran the last time, I didn't require a door open. I spoke of biblical things running for the assembly in California. But the gloves are off. There is nothing. And now Christians running for office can be fully and totally held accountable, for not for what they say, but for what they don't say while campaigning as it relates to what God says. So here is the speech that needs to be made, and I would make it if I were running for office. The other Christians running for office need to say, you aren't listening to God if you support abortion, if you support the execution of innocent unborn children. You aren't listening to God, because what does God say in Proverbs 31:8? We're to open our mouth for those who can't speak, and the cause of all such who are appointed to destruction. Why are we slaying those who should not die and keeping alive those who should live, according to Exodus 13:19? Why aren't we listening to God when we are out killing innocent human life? Now, don't say persons, because the Supreme Court said they weren't persons, but use the word life. We're killing innocent human life. They can't deny that. That is undeniable. Why aren't we listening? And by the way, while we're at it, why aren't you listening to God when he says that man shall not lie with mankind as with womankind? It's an abomination. And those who do that should be executed. Why aren't we listening to God? Why aren't you the apostles that you should be? Pick 10 of your favorite Bible topics, but be sure and start with the most culturally relevant topics there are. And ask the people, why aren't you listening to God? Interesting. The left is by and large just shut up about Kathy Hochul because she's a Democrat. So the question will be, well, they're going to come out and say, the left will come out and say, well, you can't mix politics and religion. Well, I'm sorry, you left-wing demoniacs. This is the affliction of the left. They're both stupid and they're demon-possessed. They are moronic demonics, which would be the psychological evaluation that I would give them. Why, when one of your people quote or attempt to quote, and in so doing misquote the Bible, you shut up. You're quiet. You don't say jack. And you know that it's harmless because it's not the truth. You don't have a problem with their lies. You only have a problem with truth. So that's why, is that why you have a problem with what I say, is because you're convicted of sin? You think it's hate speech, which is nothing but more than my speech, which you hate? You hate the truth because you have so little experience with handling the truth. Does not Scripture say to all of us, I've given you some passages today for you to know and to memorize and then to use? What should be our answers? Yea and nay? You know, in God everything is amen. Why would we be so afraid to say what the Bible says? And people say, well, you can't, we don't believe that. We don't believe that God said that. Then why are you believing Kathy Hochul? Why are you believing somebody who's telling you a lie in supposedly what God is doing, but you won't actually believe the truth as it relates to something God did say? Can you not handle the truth? Well, of course they can't. Let them foam at the mouth. Let them rage. Let them gnash their teeth like they did when they descended upon Stephen. When Stephen gave a testimony that was so convicting, it was so indicting of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin that they had to tear their clothes, gnash their teeth. I can see the saliva dripping while they rush down to have him stoned. God will give you the same exit as Stephen. Jesus standing at the right hand of God. There's no anguish on Stephen's part. He's not crying out in anguish. God gave him a grace that most of us have never experienced because we've never been in the same situation of suffering persecution like that. We are to speak the truth. And if people want to say, well, that's God, we don't listen to God, well, then you're pretty stupid, you guys. You won't listen to God, but you will listen to some morons like Joe Biden. So tell me, really, who's the stupid one here in the crowd? The creator of the universe, you flip the finger off at, but you'll listen to Gavin Newsom, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and all the ilk, their ilk. Let your yay be yay, your nay be nay. Remember, sit tall in the saddle. God bless you all. You ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. See you next week.